welcome to The Backlog, a podcast hosted by Adaptivate. I am Gian, an Agile consultant in the Melbourne office. Adaptivate partners with clients to accelerate outcomes by implementing new transformative ways of working. We're a global firm with offices in North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. Today, our guest is Joe McConnell, CEO from GOMO Foundation, and we'll be finding out more from her on how OKRs, also known as objectives and key results, have helped in driving an aligned and effective collaboration in the organization. Joe, it's so great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your role in the organization?
Yeah, sure. So I suppose a little bit about my background. I come out of a 25-year corporate career working across people and culture roles in large Australian corporations, including BHP, South32, and Latitude Financial. Late last year, I made a career shift and have moved into both setting up my own consulting business called The People Collective, and importantly, taking on the role of CEO for the GOMO Foundation. So super exciting transition for me late last year to come into the not-for-profit sector and to be leading a team where we're focused on accelerating girls' potential in Africa. So a whole new conversation for me and exciting to be leading such a great team.
That's really inspirational to hear of your varied and diverse career background and now transitioning into the not-for-profit. That is really cool. So could you share a little bit more on what you have been busy with in the organization as well?
Yeah, sure. So GOMO is a fantastic organization, you know, 4 years old, started up by a passionate a group of founders. And we really focus on unleashing the potential of girls in Africa through quality education. Now, we start with a high school scholarship program in Zimbabwe, really looking to grow the foundation over the next couple of years to the next level. In language that would make sense to listeners, you know, we're at that kind of transition from startup to scale up. And so we have a lot of the right foundations. We do great work. We have a passionate team of fully volunteers, but we're at a point where we need to achieve scale and a broader sustainable revenue base and offering going forward. So since I started in November, I've worked with the team and the board on a refresh of the strategy, which is where Adaptivate came in, and we'll talk about that in a second. A refresh of the strategy, which outlines a clear ambition, both of impact to the girls and the impact on communities that we make in Africa, but also starting to sketch out some of the actions underneath that. Clearly, since November, the world has changed materially. The impact of COVID-19 on the not-for-profit sector in general is significant, and we're facing into that reality now where we know that operating, let alone growing, is going to be hugely difficult within 2020-2021, so need to be even more disciplined and sharper with our efforts.
I agree, yes. It's a lot of organizations are facing very similar challenges operating in this difficult environment, I think. Yes. So moving into our next part. So Pledge 1% is a global movement to create a new normal in which giving back is integrated into the DNA of companies of all different sizes. So at Adaptivate, we are proud to be part of the movement, and we were very privileged to pledge our knowledge and time recently with GOMO Foundation. So I remember having a very rewarding time with the team back when we were working with you during our remote workshops. What was most memorable to me from the workshop was that we were able to support you and your team in creating the OKRs to guide the organization. So would you like to start off by telling us a little bit about what did you enjoy about the OKR creation process?
I mean, I think it's the same in any organization, be it a corporate or a not-for-profit. You know, you have your high-level strategy, you have your higher-level purpose and ambition, and the rubber really hits the road when you start to translate that into the detailed actions that will deliver it. And we all know that's where the real work of strategy is actually executing. on that ambition. So as I said, at GOMO, our ambition is to unleash the potential of girls in Africa. We set out to not only grow in Zimbabwe, but beyond, because we know that educating girls creates sustainable change in communities and families. Now, it's all very well to say that, but, you know, exactly what are the steps, what are the individual actions to make that happen? So the wonderful work of you and Chelsea and the team at Adaptivate was to help us take the high-level strategy, which the team certainly was part of creating, into what is now certainly not anywhere near complete, but the start of a detailed roadmap with dedicated sprints that get us towards our strategy and ambition. The other thing to say, which is obviously different than corporates, is that we're a fully volunteer team. So when you are engaging people who are passionate, aligned, but actually giving a couple of hours here and there of their time, it's even more important to be disciplined about what you do, aligned about what you do, and really respectful of people's time. So the more organized and planned we can be, the better, which is what the OKR session helped us to become.
Mm-hmm. So with OKRs, as you mentioned before, about, you know, bringing the strategy to life and where the real work is actually happening. So can you share with us, like, other benefits of having clear OKRs for GOMO Foundation as well?
Yeah, we had, again, two great sessions facilitated online, and the team was able to really sharpen the strategy down to, certainly for this year, three key OKR groupings. One was around enabling the girls and improving the experience of our girls in Zimbabwe. So that goes to both the educational model, the communications, etc. The second pillar of that was our revenue growth. So clearly everything we do is linked to, you know, how much money we can bring through the door, and then the experience of our donors. And thirdly, sort of the strong foundations and operating excellence of the organisation. So as we worked through the facilitated process, it was clear that those three key objective areas were the ones that we had to align everything to. It actually helped us to simplify the work and actually remove a number of actions from the agenda, because we know they're not as important to achieve those outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in our own personal experience, I believe OKRs do help to hone in and focus on work that has the most impact as well, very quickly. Mm. And it also helps to identify if the work is not impacting any of your key results. Yes, awesome.
Yeah, and also to force, again, the kind of discipline around exactly what would you see, what would good look like, what would the measure of success be, what would you be you know, looking for, just to really sharpen and focus, which, as I said, when you've got volunteers, is even, I would argue, more important than when you have a paid team.
Yes, those three objectives that you mentioned before, enabling the girls, revenue growth, and strong foundations, they all sound incredibly powerful, and we are very proud to have been a part of that process. So thank you for that.
No, absolutely. So,
sorry, go on.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, you know, again, thanking you and the Adaptivate team. You know, I think a lot of organizations, you know, provide financial support, which is amazing, but so many organizations could help not-for-profits with capability and capacity as well, which is hopefully a real win-win for both sides. So I just commend your organization for doing that. We found it incredibly helpful.
Thank you. Yes. So, yeah, definitely a win-win situation, and it's good for every party involved. Awesome. So with, as we mentioned before, in today's, you know, unfortunate global pandemic situation and the lockdown and all that, besides, you know, making it harder to get increase your revenue, but would you like to share some of other ways that your organization has been impacted?
Well, certainly starting with the situation on the ground in Zimbabwe and the girls who we sponsor, I mean, they've obviously, you know, like here, the country's been in you know, nominal shutdown for a month or so now. The girls have been out of school, back with their families. There, you know, it's a rural, remote part of Zimbabwe that we work within. There's certainly no online learning or even books that they could take home with them from school. So their education is going to be, you know, paused. A real challenge for us is to bring them back to school, to bring them back into the community of learning and away from, you know, their families and villages, which is really hard because obviously the drawback is very strong. So keeping the educational focus is really important. Zimbabwe, as you're probably aware, is a country challenged by many things, infrastructure, you know, stable government, corruption, et cetera, et cetera. So in terms of giving perspective, it certainly gives us all perspective as to, you know, obviously the incredible fortune that we have to live in Australia in these times. So I sort of look at the challenges, obviously, on the ground in Zimbabwe, you know, very, very challenging time. And we're only yet seeing the early days of the impact of the virus in Zimbabwe and broader Africa. And obviously then our support to that is harder to provide because the impact of the virus here on our donor base in Australia is significant, and people are, you know, obviously losing their jobs and reducing you know, income levels, which makes it hard to then to donate. So as I said, we just need to be more focused and more creative mm-hmm. than ever.
Yeah, I agree. So as you mentioned, it is still early stages of the pandemic.
Mm.
Things have yet to be played out. And we're probably only in the beginnings of a possible economic downturn or global downturn as well. So with this becoming the new normal for in this new decade, 2020, and with our goal of trying to support girls and amidst all these challenges, what would you say, how would you rate OKRs as being a part of this process? Would you say they would be an essential part to help you?
Yeah, I mean, I think any organization, be you a for-profit or not-for-profit organization, requires a clear purpose. It requires a clear strategy, and it requires an aligned set of actions to achieve that strategy. Wrapping all around that, you know, is the culture to enable all of that to be achieved. So OKRs for me really provide the clarity on what we're doing, how we track what we're doing, which is even more important in virtual and remote teams. As I'm talking around, you know, colleagues and peers, most organizations have nailed the remote working, you know, Zoom meetings and, you know, Zoom wine on Friday and all that sort of stuff. Not many organizations have the experience around some of the productivity habits and methodologies like OKRs, but also the platforms that you need to use to enable that. But, you know, and then there's a whole range of platforms that enable that. So my opinion is the next wave of focus for organizations will be, okay, we've got, you know, we can all use Zoom now and we can, you know, we know how to work remotely. It's actually how to drive productivity through platforms, methodologies, and importantly, leadership and culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be a very exciting development and to see how things would play out in the future for all the different organizations. Well, thank you, Joe, for sharing.
Interesting couple of years.
I think so, definitely. We're entering into a new normal, and I don't think we'll ever go back to the way things was. So,
yes.
To close off, do you have a podcast recommendation or any other books that you've read recently that have been really good for you, or that you would like to recommend?
A lot, actually. Mm-hmm. No, I'm a big podcast fan. Actually, my all time favorite is Revisionist History. I'm a Malcolm Gladwell fan, so that's a favorite, long term favorite. And one that I've recently got into is a podcast out of the UK by a lady by the name of Elizabeth Day, and it's called How to Fail. And so she interviews really high profile successful people and asks them to talk about their failures. Which is a really nice way of profiling how we learn from experience and experimenting and failing, and often from that, you know, comes our best development and improvement. So I could go on and on about podcasts because I do love them, but those would be my top tips.
I'll definitely have to have a listen right off of this. Thank you for sharing.
Very good. No worries, Jen.
Well, thank you so much. So thank you for having Joe from GOMO Foundation on the backlog today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the backlog and leave a review. You can find Adaptive 8 on all the socials, including LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you once again, Joe. Good evening.
No problem. Thank you.